Boom!
Hey!
I love that intro, man.
What's up?
Yeah, we gotta let him on the show, man.
He did a great job for us. Yeah, I want to get him on. I told him we'd get him on because I'd like to talk about some of his songwriting and the stuff that he's done through the years, you know. Plus, he was on the road.
You know what?
Us.
Once we get back to the studio, it'll be a lot easier to have a guest on because then we could sit by the fire. It's hard to do it like we're doing it right here.
Yeah.
For me and you, it's okay. But that studio is built to have guests and music. Yeah. So
I just got a little sick one in the house. So
your wife is sick? That's we make changes.
I had to. Yeah. I had to pick up some medicine. So get her back on her feet again. So.
Well, Gary, my co-host, a lot's happened since last week. That usually is the case, but we had some primary elections.
Yeah.
And are you ready for this number?
Oh, my goodness.
300,000 people actually punched in Tim Ryan's name. 300,000 people apparently are okay that he has never done anything. I'm going to get off that because I'll get back to that later. But here's the thing with Tim. I really think if Tim, he's trying to distance himself from the party, which is a smart move.
Yeah, and right now it is. Yeah,
and he also doesn't have any Joe Biden pictures with him. He's just trying to, because he realizes that even Democrats are tired of this routine. But if he would just come out and say, If any of these Democrats were allowed to say what they really want to say, it's like the Gestapo, man. You can't be your own person in that party. You just can't. You got to toe the line.
Well, that's against his party's belief, too. So I doubt if he would come out and say that.
Well, at least you say, hey, I think it's crazy that you're going to have tampons in boys' restrooms. I mean, I think that says something about craziness. I'm just saying some of this stuff is so bizarre. Birthing people. Okay, last time I checked, a guy cannot have a kid. So why are we talking about this?
What's scary, these are grown adults talking about this stuff. So that's scary.
So what I'm saying here, Gary, can't you just give us some of that? Can't you get on a network and say, I'm a Democrat for these reasons. I really don't agree with it, but they are not allowed to do that. So vote for him?
If he does something like that, they'll want him out of Washington. They won't want him in there.
That's just, they just are scared to death of their own tongue. And that's why they have to control all the narratives.
Listen,
this is what you have to say. And they all just keep saying it.
They're pulling every punch out that they can now. With this laptop and all this stuff that I've been listening to, the X-22 and all that, they're pulling out every punch they can because they know there's something coming that's going to happen. Durham's been investigating. He's like peeling this onion one layer at a time. So,
right, Jeremy. Jeremy Williams, very right. It's not our mom and dad's Democrat. It's not even close.
Not even close. He's correct. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I worked with Jeremy, so he's exactly right.
But you know what? What I wish people would just come out, and I mean both parties. What you are doing right now is not good for your kids or their kids.
Do we even care
about that?
That's what confuses me. They have children, I'm sure. Don't they think about their future? Don't they think about what it's going to be like for them?
Yeah, they actually all want the schools to dictate what to teach your kids about sex orientation when they're 5 years old, about being a boy or girl, and you can choose. You really want that?
No, okay. That's absurd. If I was in school and they did that, my dad would go in there with both fists cuffed and he'd be ready to rock somebody.
Well, I want to take some time to thank people that prayed for my son Tommy.
Yes.
We would have been struggling. What was causing his nerve issues? His hand would just, his thumb would start moving. You could see. And we had all kind of tests and nobody was coming up with anything. So when that happens, your mental mind always goes to the worst. It's just the way we're built. We always think the worst.
Sure. Yep. That's
true. He had himself in such a mode that he was just real curled up in a ball, just thinking about 24 hours a day. And I told him, I said, it doesn't matter what you're going to have to start living. I mean, and we went there Monday, and this really young American specialist, neurologist specialist, did a bunch of tests and told him, you're going to be around a long time, son. It is not ALS. It's not MS. It's not any of these debilitating things. He thinks he, in the course of playing basketball, jammed his neck or something, and there's something sitting on his vertebrae. So we're having a MRI to find out what it is.
Yes.
But I'm just thankful to the Lord it's not.
Absolutely.
Those things that this can be dealt with. Those other things we just didn't know was.
Right. I mean, and, you would, if regardless of the situation, you would deal with it the best way you can. But just exactly. Thank God it wasn't that.
And you know what's funny? Because I know he kept telling me, oh, yeah. As soon as he got that news, because he was in there really upset still before they were taking all the tests, we went walking to the car, chit-chatting, talking, laughing. I'm telling you, that's how – thanks, Mike. Thank you. That is exactly how it is. Your mind is the worst obstacle that you have.
It mentally, for sure.
Physically makes you sick, worrying about stuff.
For sure. So he's going to go get an MRI or CAT scan. They're going to try to figure out what's pinched.
Right. They're going to do an MRI in June and actually pinpoint what that is. It could be his neck. It could be lower. But, you know, my dad said he thought it was that a long time ago. But when you're looking on the internet and you're looking for, I see, like I said, I have myself dying of stomach cancer when I pulled a muscle in my stomach. I was reading stuff. And the more I thought about it, the worst it was getting.
Well, listen, same thing. I got real sick earlier last year, and I lost a lot of people from pancreatic cancer. I'm talking within 30 days, they found out they was gone.
Yeah, Dominic. Dominic was diagnosed, and they said he had 6 weeks, and I don't even think he got in three.
No, my dear friend Bo Ziegler is gone. My friend Billy Schuster, his wife Nancy just passed in February from it. But I got sick, and I was like, man, I hope nothing's wrong with me like that. That's the first thing that went through my head. You're right. Our mind is our worst obstacle, because I did. I thought something was wrong.
It'll make you sick. It'll make you sicker, even if you are sick, thinking about it.
But when I was on the incline, though, I had hope. I was like, oh, I'm starting to feel better. That's good.
But even think about worrying about something that you might get in trouble for, or something that you did or said to somebody that they might get you. You get physically ill until you know that you're not in trouble, or that person's not going to, you know, call right. The police because you threatened them or whatever. I've had a few of those, but why I brought that example up.
I think I have two.
Boy, wow. But that would be the. But Gary, I got a couple of things. Did you see the new Rock Hall of Fame inductees?
No, I have not. I did not see it.
Sorry. Okay, you ready?
Oh, goodness. Should I write these down?
Okay, Eminem. That what? Rock. Okay. Eminem. Dolly Parton.
Wow, there's two different genres. Go ahead.
Eurythmics. Oh, come on. They had two songs. Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, and Lionel Richie.
Lionel. Wow. You got an R&B guy. You got a Rhythmics. I don't know what they were. You got Dolly Parton. 80s. And listen, and I love Dolly Parton.
So do I.
I think she's awesome. She's a go-getter. She's also a Capricorn.
Not rock and roll, though. And they should name it something else then. Stop naming it rock and roll.
Right. An Eminem.
Yeah,
I mean, I have nothing against the young man, but that is totally rap. That's like, I don't know. Maybe they shouldn't call it the Rock Hall no more.
And you've actually got like Styx. I don't think is in there.
Styx is awesome. Oh, there's a lot of great ones.
But they're not even in there. ELO just finally got in there a couple of years ago, and I'm just looking at all these. But it's just like. It's almost bizarre, like almost like doing it on purpose. Cause I mean, some of these groups, like, listen, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts had two hits. That is not a Rock Hall of Fame group.
I wonder, I'm going to do some research. I want to find out how they pick and what they have to accomplish in order to be in the Rock Hall. Just how many years are together? Is it how many units they sell? Did they go platinum, double platinum, triple platinum? I'm curious now.
I am too, because I don't think there's any rhyme or reason. I just think they just somebody just, that they just haven't got in there. They try to cover every genre, so I don't know why they're calling it Rock Hall of Fame. Just call it Music Hall of Fame then.
Music Hall of Fame, yep. It's the cancel culture, bro. You don't want to segregate people.
There's no rules to anything anymore.
It's no.
Anything goes. We'll just, make everybody happy. Everybody, one group can't. But I have some dates in history for music here for you.
All right.
Did you know on this day, 1986, Atlantic Records agreed that the Rock Hall of Fame would be built in Cleveland?
Oh, that's cool.
How about that? Okay.
Yeah, that's nice.
All right. How about this? This is a funny one now. 1972, way before our time.
What are you talking about?
Paul Simon, Chicago, and Carole King put on a large benefit to get George McGovern in the White House. Strike three. He got blown out. So that didn't help.
How did I know you were going to talk about music and somehow bring in political BS to it?
It was on this day. I'm just saying. okay, here's a better one. 1969, CCR released Bad Moon Rising.
Bad Moon. I was 5 years old. I was 5 years old.
Oh, now here's one. You're going to love this. I was actually shocked that this happened. I didn't even know this. In 1990, Jason Bonham, at his wedding, played a 5-song set with Paige Plant and John Paul Jones.
Wow, that would be awesome. Seen him. I just worked security at Packer with him.
On this day, that 500-person wedding got to see that classic.
And you'll probably never see that again.
Nope.
Wow, that's amazing.
And here's one to finish it off with a little laugh. In 2010, Sonny and Cher Bono's daughter, Chastity, turned into a man, and they now call her Chaz on this day, May 5th, 2010.
Thank you, Chaz. Thank you, sir. Miss sir.
So there we go.
Wow. I mean, I'm glad we had this show on today, because I actually learned a lot.
I thought you'd enjoy that. You know what? I forgot one.
Uh-oh.
Do you know this day, on 2014, Beyonce's sister, Solange, attacked Jay-Z in an elevator on camera?
Sweet. Sweet. She'll be in the Rock Hall next.
So there you have it, folks.
Hey, to each his own. I don't know. I just there is a lot of history and music and certain things that I didn't know for sure. There's a lot.
I didn't bring up some of them, but hey, you know, we're back to COVID again, and I think I told you so. Here's what was said. Now they have reports said that these new numbers now gives them the authority to implement precautions again. So we can go right back to masks.
I ain't going back to nothing.
Yep. Well, that they just keep bringing this shit back up. It just keeps coming back up like weeds. Here it comes again, because they don't want to let go of holding us.
Listen, they know it's coming, bro. Midterms are coming. They're going to try to do what they did last time. And it's not, I don't think the mayor and pickleball are going to put up with it. I'm sorry. If they do,
I don't
it's
think
on them.
So.
I'm not putting up with
I
it.
I think the majority of people, I don't think they realize how bad we've, because listen, most politicians are unhooked to reality. They don't know anything about a real job. They don't know anything about costs of health care or anything. Their income is recession proof, depression proof. They're going to get paid.
Well, I always said that. I always said that about that Obamacare garbage that they forced on everybody. And if you didn't get it, you got fined. If they were going to do that to the American people, they should have to be. They should have to use the same health care. We should not be paying for their health care, us taxpayers. No.
In reality, it was never. Listen, it's called serving, and it was never to be intended that government workers make more than the private sector. That was never the intent.
Well, they do.
Or to have better benefits and all these grandioso retirement funds. It was never put. That was not supposed to be how that worked.
Well, they totally lost touch with reality. They don't know what it's like out here. They, like you said, they never had to taste it. They became. Nope. Look at you got. You got local politicians that have been in it for 20, 30 years.
Yeah. And why do you think they keep running for shit? Why do you think they keep, well, what's open now? What else can I run for?
Because they don't have to do nothing.
Yeah, it's just a great job. And it's not supposed, it was never supposed to be a job or a career.
Oh, if I see a TV camera, I'll run for it and just tell them what I'm going to do for everybody in this county. And I ain't going to do nothing. And I can live a good life.
You know what, Gary, it's funny you brought that up. This last couple months, all of these local politicians, all of a sudden on Facebook, now all of a sudden they want to get in the middle of it because they want votes. And then after they're running for shit, they disappear. I just start unfriending them. Get out.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't need this crap of having your face on my Facebook page just because you're running for something now. You want something?
I got the hell out of here. A guy locally running, and I'm not going to mention no names, but he said, if you want a sign in your yard, you inbox me. I inboxed him 2 months ago. I ain't got a sign. I ain't got a return message. Nothing. I sent my address and messenger and everything. Said, "This, I'd like to have a sign in my yard." Never got one. It's been 2 months. So,
wow. He must think he's going to win, huh?
I don't know. He complains about everybody else. I know that. But I'm in Facebook jail now again, so I can't even comment. They got me again.
I think we're going to have to get you like a legal law firm and just like have you with under contract 365 days a year.
I was talking about a car.
Oh.
A certain name, and it was called hate speech.
So I'm still off LinkedIn, a business thing. I can't get back on.
That's funny.
I can't get back on.
Why?
I don't know.
Ban you forever?
I got restricted, and then you have to go through this process, and they relooked. they actually relooked at it and kept me off still.
I appealed mine, and I sent them this big letter. Why they were wrong. I said, I'm tired of your cancel culture and you always.
You aren't going to get back on with that.
I don't care. I said, you're taking away everybody's free speech and they're sick of it. And I go, besides, two socials coming up. Twitter's going to be changing. I'm going to be dragging a lot of people with me because I am fixing it. I'm thinking about really getting off Facebook. I'm tired. I promote the band on there a lot. So I may have to keep a wee little tiny profile just for that. But I'm really thinking about going to a place where you can have free speech. I mean, I wasn't calling nobody no names. I was talking about a car that I thought was, and they said, you went against community standards. I was like, what? And it said hate speech. I'm like, it was a car.
Listen, I don't even think they care. I think once you get that red flag, I don't even think they read it. I think what they get is a word. Like I worded something and I worded it different and I went from on to off. Like all I did was change hell to heck or something. I changed it and I was okay then.
I looked up the definitions of the two words I said. Okay. Mm-hmm. One means a cigarette, which I didn't know. The other one means happy, to pursue happiness, be happy.
And well, liberals don't want people happy.
They use those two words, the definitions in the dictionaries. They took it the totally opposite of what they meant and said, I put out hate speech. So I think Mark Zuckerberg, somebody needs to get his number. I'd like to have it myself.
Well, you see now that Twitter might be an open forum. They're getting all scared, so they're going to have a disinformation group from the government.
Yeah.
So they can. But wait, before when they were kicking people off, hey, it's a privately owned thing. He can do whatever he wants. But oh, here we go, because it's not in their favor.
I heard that Elon Musk, now that he's the owner, he owns all the files and everything, which he can go back into those files and he can find out exactly what they were doing and why they were doing it. That's why there's people fleeing Twitter left and right. Not the general public, the people that work there. They're getting out.
Wow, like they're leaving. I didn't hear that.
Yep.
Wow.
So he's going to find out a lot of stuff about Twitter. That's why the government's going to be like, we're going to start a committee.
I did want to talk about something, because if you noticed, it leaked out all of a sudden about this Roe versus Wade thing. I wanted to wade in on this.
Little segue.
So Wade here wants to weigh in on Roe versus Wade. So here we go. You always hear this same argument, right? Well, if you get raped or underage, or could be the health of the mom, I get those. But let me give you some real numbers. Only 1% of abortions are from rape or incest. 1%.
Wow.
So,
I mean, it should be 0%, but yeah, I get it.
And it's 0.07, the mother's life is in danger. So that leaves 98% of them, I don't want to have a kid. That's your reasoning. It is very few of these other issues that they keep using as the issue. 73 million God-given children are killed every year.
That's horrible.
Those are the real numbers that they hide behind all the other stuff.
That's horrible. But here, I got a question, because I don't know where I really stand on that matter, because it's just like when a man goes and gets a vasectomy. So why wouldn't that be categorized? I mean, oh, I see, you're actually taking a life. I get that.
Yeah, you can't go back and redo that. So you either give it
well,
up.
Well, here's the thing. This is what I think. If it was something like you mentioned, which you said was only like 0.1%,
right?
0.07. If it's something like that, I get it and I understand it. If you're too young and you were raped, I get it, I understand it. But just to do it because you didn't want to get pregnant, you shouldn't be allowed to have the organs to give birth. That should be it.
If God predestines our lives, there's a plan for you, and you just kill the plan. How do we know any of these people could have been the president, could have cured cancer? You're just wiping out generations of people because you're too lazy, or it doesn't fit your schedule,
right?
Or no, whatever.
I understand that. It's sad. It is. Then people need to start practicing safer,
yeah,
cohabitating.
You had your chance before the pregnancy.
I think it should be strike one. That's it. Don't do it again, or you're gonna be stuck. I mean, you can't go around and just. I don't want a kid. I better go get this taken care of. That's horrible.
Well, then go get it's your horrible. Tubes. Yeah, go get your tubes tied. Right. Then you had your shot. Now you can forget it.
That's what I mean.
I bet just... you they wouldn't be running down there every time and trying to do that if that was the case.
But what if I want a kid sometime? A child later on in the future. Well, then you're going to have one now because you ain't entitled to this.
And there's a lot of people begging for adoptions and begging to have kids that can have kids, and you're
right
out there wiping them out because it's not in your schedule.
From negligence. They're wiping them out from negligence.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's not in the Constitution either.
Lucky I ain't got my glasses on.
That's right, Tanya Marshall. But it's because I'm not a woman. I don't say all of them. I say under circumstances, I believe it should still be an option. if you're an underage girl, or, you know, come on, you know, you're 12, 13 years old, you shouldn't have to carry a daggone. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you also make sure it was either by force, and that's one thing, but
that's what I mean.
Just because you're out there, I don't care if you're 12 or 14, if you're practicing having sex with somebody.
Oh, I meant if you were raped or some incest thing, and you're, come on, man, I'm not going to. It's easy for a guy to say that.
Right. I don't know how, like, I meant, because you know that all that movement in Washington about my body, my choice, blah, 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 and which is true. But it wasn't true with these damn vaccinations, was it? They were trying to force people to get
that's
vaccinated.
That's the only thing that you get forced. It seems to be the only thing that it's either this
fits
or
their
that.
Agenda. It fits their agenda. When I say theirs, I'm talking about the deep state cabal. That's what I'm talking about.
Forcing people to have it's not been tested, and telling us it's safe.
Yeah.
just coming out and saying they're safe and effective. Well, they're not effective because we have to get 30 of them. So that was a big lie.
Hey, Kamala Harris, triple vax, missing in action, tested positive for COVID.
Yeah.
Unless they're lying about that too. But come on, man.
Do shit. And they want people to go out and vaccinate their 4-year-old. They have more of a chance of a tree falling out of the sky and dying from COVID.
I just hope the American people rise up because they're going to pull it again. I'm telling you, midterms are coming. They're going to pull some shady stuff, man.
I guarantee they are. They're already starting up that COVID's making a return routine. I'm telling you, I told you that was going to happen.
I don't think they're going to. They can try it, but I don't think they're going to fall for
it. Oh, they're going to try it. Hey, I wanted to tell you this. Remember, we talk about events and that. So I'm hoping you brought a story from the road from.
Oh, yeah, I got
today.
One.
And I have one that you're going to laugh your ass off with, but go ahead.
Okay,
I'm waiting.
The year is probably 1992. I think we were playing in Flint, Michigan. At the time, it was the automobile capital of the world, the main drag. There was restaurant, strip club, all the way down this strip. Bars, nightclubs, just booming place. So we get done playing at a place called Contos, and we had drinks with Ronnie James Dio and Vinny Appice, his drummer.
Whoa.
And they signed a napkin for my son. My son was just born premature. They signed a napkin. He put 2 Zach Magic from Ronnie James Dio.
Oh,
bless his heart. Ronnie James is no longer with us. But so we go back to the hotel room. After they left, I wanted my nose pierced. Jimmy goes, what? I go, I want my nose pierced. Because I thought it looked cool. It looked cool, right? So I told my drummer, Mike, I said, give me one of them drumsticks. He goes, what? Give me a drumstick. So I took a drumstick, stuck it right out my nose like this. I went, whoa. And Jimmy got a plastic push pin out of a corkboard in the hotel room and just jammed it down to my nose. And if you look at our one album, we have an insert that has all these, it's a collage of pictures. And you see me sitting in the bathroom with a ball cap like this on and a drumstick hanging out of my nose with a push pin stuck in it. And believe it or not, it did not get infected. And I've had that. I don't have it now, of course, but I've had it for many years to come after that. But
didn't it hurt?
I think I was a little gassed up, Tommy. I think I was feeling pretty good. I don't remember. You don't have too many chances you get to sit there and hang with Ronnie James Dio and his drummer. But great guys. There was a couple dancers there. One dancer picked Ronnie James Dio up like a fireman's cradle and slammed him on the bed. It was so funny. And then the next day we're supposed to be in Bay City, Michigan. We were playing and we went into a restaurant to get breakfast and we were talking about it. We're like, do you guys remember what we just witnessed last night? This girl body slamming Ronnie James Dio on the hotel room bed.
How crazy is that?
Dude, I'm telling you.
Well, Ronnie James Dio was like 4'8". Well,
yeah, he was tiny. Like he was in front of me walking down the hallway to the hotel. He had like a jean jacket on, a pair of jeans. And I swear to God, I was talking to Ronnie. He was walking with me. I go, look how little that guy is. Like his Levi pockets touched. They touched, you know. Wow. He was tiny.
With a big voice.
Oh, huge voice. Well, he His mom made him listen to opera when he was little.
Yeah, I could tell. I could tell.
So he learned to sing opera. Great guys, super nice. I think they did a little 420 once in a while, but that was it. I mean, we're like, how do you have such a big voice if you do that? He goes, that's all I've ever done. Huh. But really good guys, great experiences. And this girl throwing him on the bed like that, and he was laughing and carrying on like a little kid. It was so funny.
How old was he about then? He couldn't have been.
He had to be in his 40s. Let's see. I was on the road. I was in my late 20s.
Yeah, so he's in his 40s.
I was in my mid to late 20s. Yeah, he's probably in his 40s. Yep. Jeez. And he just had a band then with Vinny Appice. Carmen Appice is a famous drummer also. Mm-hmm. His brother Vinny, he put a band together called World War III. They actually played JB's on Glenwood in Youngstown. And that's a touch of the road days. I got so many, but I don't want to go too far.
Joey Pizzullo was from Youngstown, went to Ursula and played at JB's, man. And that's where Sergio Mendez discovered him. And he ended up a huge star, man. They even talk about him around here.
There's a lot of artists that come up out of this area. A lot of people aren't aware of, just like a lot of athletes. There's like
get hooked up with Sergio Mendez. You need to be talked about a little bit more than that. That's like one of the great ones.
Yeah,
he had a string of hits, Alibis, and I'm Never Gonna Let You Go, and he had a couple Rainbow's End. I mean, I really thought he was great. I couldn't believe he went to Ursula.
What style of music was he?
He was on Solid Gold. He was just top hits. You remember Your Alibis Are Watertight? You remember that? It was an '80s big hit, middle '80s.
Like Casey Kasem's Top Countdown stuff.
Yeah, they were the top. I mean, Never Gonna Let You Go. That was like a huge song, and he ended up on Solid Gold a couple of times.
I've heard of him. I definitely heard of the name. I'm not sure what he did.
Yeah. Yeah. If you pull up Alibis, I think that was one of his top songs. That was a really good song.
Yeah. There was some things that you and I went through when you were booking Rip Burnoffs, and you specifically always told me that you didn't want to talk to me on the phone. You told Dominic, I'm not talking to him.
It's funny about this, because it really is something that, I mean, you shouldn't have probably done it, because no, I'm just saying, because it's a tough business.
It's very tough.
And we were really close, and we just, in this crazy fate, ended up on these sides of the fence.
Right.
And I used to say, you know, I don't mind beating the crap out of it, whatever band you want to beat up. I said, but I really don't want to do Gary. You know, he's makes it really difficult. And
just say it. I was a tightwad. Right?
No. You were, listen,
he won't negotiate.
I look back on it now, and you had every right to do that. Okay, but then I'm trying to make a few dollars. You know, I'm trying to get a show that I know is costing a lot of money. Just trying to cut somewhere where I can.
For sure.
And you should have had a representative, not you, be that guy.
Save my face, right?
Yeah, because I mean, holy hell! I don't care who it was. I'd get excited. I'd fight, brawl. I just did not want to do that, because, first of all, I wanted you guys to play. I mean, because you guys.
I know. You want everybody to play. You guys just didn't want to pay nobody.
No. I didn't want everybody to play. There's a lot of them bands I could have had a static sound from weather, a warning, instead of their music playing.
And you would have had that kind of crowd.
Yeah. See? Same amount of people.
I kind of knew. I did know. I had that much confidence in my band at the time that I knew we could do good for you. I knew we could do good, because we promoted, and all of us, we beat the pavement day in and day out. It ain't like we didn't have big internet back then where we could advertise.
No, it was all flyers.
Right.
Yeah.
Flyers, posters, hitting nightclubs at night, hitting the cars, hitting telephone poles.
Yep.
And I was like, I know we can do a good job for you.
But do you remember we had a big problem because of all things, because we wanted to keep put your name on all the, you know, the material. Oh,
yeah. That we're doing. Yeah.
But he had such a problem with Huck and Philbillies.
Right.
Yep. People know that's F and Hillbilly. Okay. But it doesn't say that. Okay.
Right.
It says, like when I had badass fights, I changed the S's to dollar signs and I just put bet the shirt. Nobody had a problem with it. Just because I put the dollar signs instead of the S.
It's crazy because when I come up with that name, my friend was just telling me a story and he said, he goes, I meant to say effing hillbillies because he was traveling down to West Virginia going to Florida or something, but his kids were in the car. So he goes, I accidentally said it. And I says, I need to have that. He goes, what? And I said, that name. So he goes, I don't care. I just said it backwards. I switched the letters accidentally. I don't even know how it happened. So me and Ronnie Williams.
That was genius.
Yeah. I said, let's just start a band. We will dress up like rednecks. You know, I mean, I wore a blonde mullet wig.
Yeah, I remember. Glasses, yeah.
And we'll go out and do good classic rock songs. And then we got Jimmy at the time. Jimmy was going through some hard times. We said, listen, come and sing. And the Tribune Chronicle, I talked to Andy Gray. Andy Gray, love that man to death. He's always been on the side of us and every band I put together, he's always been on the side of us. But he goes, the editor ain't gonna publish this name. I go, why? He goes, well, you know, Huck and Philbillies, da da da. He goes, I think he just wants to put the Philbillies. Is that all right? I said, I don't care. You know, I don't get it out there. I don't care. But
yeah that's what happened.
The Tribune had a real big problem put Huck in. They hated that. They were like, no, I put that in our paper. So.
And that's why Dominic had a problem because he's trying to promote everything and they were giving him a hard thing with the Huck and Philbillies.
And you know, another crazy thing, which the Tribune didn't know about this. Before THF, I had a harder band, which we played for you. We opened up for Saliva. It was called Dilligaff. The Tribune would post that real big in their Dilligaff opening for Saliva. Blah, blah. Well, little did they know it's an acronym. Does it look like I give a...
They didn't
know it. They didn't know that. So they put it all
in. I didn't know it either.
That's what it means. Does it look like I give a...
Blah? Now, is that something you made up?
No, it was... It's an acronym. It's a lot of bikers. My buddy had a patch. He's breast him. He's passed to motorcycle accident. But he told me years ago, dude, you need to start a band called Dilligaff. I'm like, what's that? Like, what is it? And then he showed me his little patch on his leather vest. He told me what it meant. I'm like, oh my God, I love it. I love it. So
that was pretty cool. I did that. I thought that was cool. I thought you came up with that.
No. Billy Pierce. I mean, he's gone now.
That sounds like something you would say. So I thought you came up with that.
Thanks, Tom.
Well, I'm just like, blow off. Does it look like, you know, I just.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
that was a really good band. I remember seeing that at Hammer Jacks. I remember seeing you there with that. I was quite
Larry used to get so mad at us because he goes, you guys are charging me too much money. I said, Larry, just give us the whole door. $5 ahead, we'll take the whole door, but your guy's got a card, not our guy. We made like over $2,000 one night. He goes, all right, I'll give you $1,500 now. You guys
just cheapskate.
We had that place packed every time we played there.
Yeah, to get me out there, you know dang well it had to be good.
Yeah,
it was fun. But listen, I gotta tell you about we had a singer from the soap operas called Michael Damian, and he came out with a song that was really popular.
Michael Damian.
Wait, hold on. I can't remember the song, but it was extremely popular at the time. So we had, hold on. wait till, because I just can't think of it because I'm thinking of something else. So
listen. You're laughing. I'm laughing. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, wait. I'm just pulling up. Okay, so Michael Damian, he was an artist. He became into the music business and came up with the remake of Rock On.
Rock On. Which song is that?
What, Rock On. Rock On. It was done in the 70s, I think.
Yes, I know what song you're talking about.
So he
it's
was
like,
really...
Cedar Shake on a movie screen.
Rock On. Yeah, that's it. Okay.
Rock
so
On.
He is... Nice looking guy. This is gonna be a big deal. Okay. So we do it at Eastwood, and I come in. I was at some kind of party. I had a white suit on, like an off-white suit. Sunglasses. It's midsummer. I got a great tan, looking like a zillion. I come in the mall. He's just getting started, and he's got dark curly hair. He's got a wide face like my brother. People are like, I was Tommy Damien for the scroll. I'm signing autographs. I got people. I'm in the corner. Just hang on now. I have people all over me. And
that's right.
And Michael Damien loved it. He goes, my brother's over there if you need anything, because he just played along with it. And I got all these like 12-year-old good ones. Yeah, I got you covered. Hey, I'm signing autographs. Hey, yeah, I'll sign your shirt. I'm signing Tommy Damien all over the place, which means nothing.
That's funny. You should have walked up to him after the show and said, listen, I think you owe me a couple bucks.
Oh,
bro.
We laughed about it. You don't think I said something about that?
That's great.
Yeah, we laughed about it. And in fact, we kept in touch later. And he would call me Tommy Day, my brother Tommy Damien. He still talked about it years later because we're going to try to do it again.
He was in soap operas?
Yeah, he was Young and the Restless. Wait a minute. He was really huge. Yeah, he was in Air America in 1990. His career went into the cover. She did it. He actually did Eric Carmen music too. But yeah, he was a Young and the Restless.
Yeah, his name sounds familiar, but then again, every time I hear her name, everything sounds familiar. That's funny.
Oh, look, there's the picture. You could see where I could get away with that.
Oh yeah, yeah. You with your gel.
It was like a perfect combination. Like perfect.
You get your gel in your.
Yeah, hair. I had a white suit on with sunglasses anyway.
Dude, I used to look out when I'd be playing those burn-offs. I'd look out. I could pick you out of anywhere because you had a pair of khaki shorts on with some loafers and tanned up and a cigar in your mouth.
Cigar walking like, through
with a Hawaiian, some sort of Hawaiian design shirt on.
But I also then would go into the mob mode where I had all black on, and that when I got irritation coming, I go in that thing and change my outfit. Now I come out in a different mode. Okay. How much money you want, Michael DeTosto? You ain't getting nothing.
That's funny.
I brought every time I get all these people, I just either on the radio, hold on. Yeah. Oh, we got trouble over there. I just to get away from it. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Gary. You know, everybody wants a backstage pass or something. You know,
it was funny. Like you're in the middle of playing, right? And you're like, you're hitting the wrong note or something, right? You're like, oh, shit. You're grabbing the cord and you're shaking. Something's up with my amp. I don't know what's going on. You got to cover it up. Like, they didn't hear me hit that wrong note. Something's wrong with my amp.
Over yeah, you're going. You're looking around.
Or you're picking your guitar up. You're looking at the volume switches like something's wrong with it.
Or when I'm not nearly on schedule and I'm running over there going, I get these guys off the stage. We got a problem here with the city wants to look at something. I would make up whatever we had to make up to make it look good. Yeah, Trumbull County's here. They want to look at the speaker system. You know,
something's up at the 220.
Yeah, the food lines aren't working. We got to stop everything right here. But it was just so funny because I look back and it was such a big deal for the area, though. I mean, it wasn't something that anybody who didn't witness prior to it, which was absolutely nothing.
Right, because nobody else put stuff on around like that.
You had Nelson Ledges or something. You had that 422, what's that? Something USA every now and then. Somebody would do something.
Entertainment USA.
Yeah, but you didn't have like four big known acts.
And the nice thing about what you did, you ran that ran for like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yeah, we had a decent relative. Then Friday, Saturday, we hit it hard.
Yeah, Saturday was the biggest night.
And then Sunday, we would do some kind of reggae thing or whatever. You know, something different.
I remember being up on that stage and looking, and I could see people way past Bob Evans, even across 422 in the furniture store, parts standing in the back of pickup truck beds. And just, it was a good event. It was definitely a good event for this
I've
hour.
got I've got pictures of you on the stage, and I took a picture. Now, this is before.
Did you get an agreement? Did you get permission to take my picture up there on the stage?
Yeah, I got it from myself. But listen, it was such a cool picture because the crowd looked like, it looked like the Yes Fest. I mean, it looked like the Us Festival. It looked like that many people.
Yeah,
it does. The way it was. Yeah. But you got to remember, this is before the major act. I forget which one we were doing then, but obviously, yeah, that many people get to see you play.
A lot of people. Oh, yeah.
And for local bands around here, bro, that don't happen anymore.
And you know what's crazy is everybody's like, some of these younger musicians at that time were coming up. They're like, man, how do you play in front of all those people? I says, listen, it's easier to play in front of that many people than in a nightclub, because in a nightclub, they're right up in your face. You just look out in the crowd. Everybody thinks you're looking at them. You know, real close.
And you could get away with just about, you know what's funny you said that is when I'm like playing drums in the big Coitsville church where there's thousands of people, and I could do all kind of different things and nobody, oh man, that wasn't any good. But when I was playing in front of like 200 people,
they noticed everything.
And I mess up or something like out of forth, they're like, they could hear that, you know, if you happen to mess up or do something offline a little bit, off rhythm.
Yeah, being a musician and going to see other, like I watch national acts make a mistake. I can hear it. And being a musician, they're going to know that stuff. Being just a regular general public, you have to have fun. You don't even think about it. As long as you're having a good time, they're being like, oh shit, he just put a double tap on that snare. That don't go there. They don't do that. They don't.
Well, remember now, I had to play with Chuck Koontz, who was making me laugh most of the time I'm trying to play.
See, Charles? See what
and
you caught?
Then I'd look up and go, okay, I can't look at him. Okay.
I think Chuck ought to bring us to Hawaii for a week.
Well, how about what I said? I don't think people can hear me good enough. He pulled up an end that wasn't plugged in. And said, this might be a reason.
That's funny. What? So, and my apologies. Happen to do this cast from separate areas. Like I said, I got a sick one here, and I really wanted to be here and get her what she needed. So, but next week for sure. In studio.
In the studio. Back in the studio.
Yeah, I'll be there for sure. And I think we're going to do what you said we're going to do with call-ins and stuff like that. So
yeah, I think it's way past time that we add that to the show. But I also want to keep remembering, believe me, we both have about a million music stories. So,
oh my gosh, I got part of it. I got local ones and I got some from the road.
That was a good one today, Ronnie James Dio. That was a good one.
Yes, he was really. I think next week I'll follow up when we opened up for Bad Company at the Midwest Fireworks. You'll like that one.
I want to hear that one. It's a shame I had to combat Ronnie James Dio with Michael Damian. It's kind of fits though.
That's a good story, man. Those were good stories. And like I said, I told you before, you know, my right hand to God, anything I tell you is absolute 100% truth. I would never fabricate nothing. Things I have to leave out. If you know what I'm saying,
I do know what you're saying,
but for the most part,
I was in the same biz. I know.
Being our age at that time, I mean, it was more of an adventure. It was like, you know, people, you look back on it, you're like, man, can you believe the stuff we did? I mean, and got away with it. Like, we did some crazy stuff. Crazy. I'll get into that later.
I'm also going to, each show, I'm going to bring a rider from one of the musicians. Laugh at.
That will be great.
When I show you where certain things they had to have, they're called certain other things. Sunshine was called something else.
I've seen a couple riders from Packer Music Hall or talked about it with some of the upper management, and I couldn't believe, like, some of these artists, like, they're, the demands they want is like so crazy.
Well,
like,
I tell you what, back then, these acts that we were doing were still pretty mainstream.
Yeah, they're fair about it.
I'm talking about Nelly. I'm talking about people that are in the top 10 songs at that time during the shows. Like, right. This isn't some old school thing. This is guys that think they're on top of the world riders. Wait till you see some of these.
Yeah, that's crazy. That'll be a good part. Believe me. I like to hear that.
And now we're still doing the same stuff we were doing back in the 80s and 90s. And now the riders should just say, I'm going to stay alive through the show at this point.
I only want pink M&M's. Yeah. I want seedless watermelon.
Okay, what's your medication list again? I'm going to get that. And in the old days, it was drugs. And now it's, okay, heartburn medicine. What else you need? You know, it's a whole different list.
8x10 Persian rug to stand on.
And I need a thing that if I fall down, I can get up. Okay, we got you covered. The medic alert. Okay, gotcha. Little different.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. That'll be a good one.
And then the story. I might even tell the story of the Richie Medlock trailer. I'll just leave that for alone for night now. But
that's a good one.
I hit my head on the top of the thing and was bleeding. Didn't even know it. Okay.
Look like a WWF wrestler.
didn't even know it. All right, Gear. As always, thanks, Joe Danier, again.
Thank you, Ronnie Williams.
Yes, Ronnie Williams, excellent. And
God bless him. He's a savior.
I want to get some people on the show that I think would be really good. I think PC Torres, a local boxer, would be good. We got some really good boxing stories. I want to have him on, and maybe next Thursday bring him in the studio. But we'll talk before then, I'm sure. And thanks as always, Gary. Love you, brother.
Love you too, man.
Thanks everybody. Make the comments. Share the videos.
Share it up.
Thanks, man.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.